Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai. This is the Nonprofit Snapcast. Thank you for joining us. I am once again in the Atlanta Women's Foundation's conference room with a bunch of really stellar people around the table. We have
Kate Balzer,
Makana Love Tinker,
and
Allie Cobb.
Makana, for this episode, I wanted to ask you about your role, and let's start in a general sense. You know, how did you get into nonprofits? How did you get into database management and nonprofit operations?
Super funny story. Yeah. So I wanted to be a minister, and I did not go in and get my graduate degree to be a minister, but a minister was a advisor for the program that I got into at Emory, and she said, hey, why don't you go out and serve people and see if you actually like it? So she got me linked up with a few different organizations, and I just went in as an intern and said, hey, I'll do whatever you want. And mm-hmm. I started literally taking work off of people's desk, like, hey, you've got too much to do. Let me do that. Let me enter that in the database for you. What? You got a whole bunch of donation envelopes? How do you do this? Show me. And so that was how I kind of got into that. And a lot of my experience in banking, I worked for a bank for about 3 years, mm-hmm. Kind of came into play with that. And I had no idea that kind of linked up. So again, this minister, she totally mm-hmm. advised me to go and work at nonprofits and see if I actually liked serving people. She was like, you know, everybody's not a pulpit minister. Everybody doesn't want to stand up and scream a sermon every mm-hmm. Sunday. And I knew that I did not want to do that. but I was really into service and the volunteer and community service arm of, you know, church. And so when I went to work with these different organizations, one was a refugee organization, one was a children's organization. Like I said, I just kind of went and took work off people's desk. Like, hey, what are you doing? What do you do? Can I help you with that? Can you show me how to open up this program? And at one of the organizations that I was at, the young lady came from a CRM company and she was like, hey, I used to train people on this. Let me train you. And so I was like, okay, cool. I got nothing else to do. I'll sit here with you. And that was what we did. And so, again, I just kept volunteering to take on that task. And every time I learned a little bit more and a little bit more about the system. And I was like, hey, I can do this. This makes sense to my brain.
So it sounded like a personal mission-driven thing to get
yeah,
into that.
Yeah. And it did make sense in a lot of people's brains at mm-hmm. nonprofits, but it made sense in mine. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll take it on if nobody really wants to. Right. And that was how I did it.
I mean, I think as people looking at nonprofits in general, they don't think about the behind the scenes work that are pretty critical to keeping things running, database operations being probably the backbone for a lot of operations. What does your average day look like?
My average day looks like huge spreadsheets most of the time where I have to stop and take a break and like drop some eye drops and say, okay, let's go back at this. But most of the time it's tracking. It's a lot of asking questions and asking the why questions. What I find most often is that we don't speak each other's languages from accounting to development. So a lot of times I find myself being the bridge in that sense in the organizations that I work for. Like, hey, I speak a little bit of development and I speak a lot of finance and numbers. So let's figure out what happened to the money once we got it. Or did we even get the money? Or who promised us the money? Where are we going with this? So, and I think that for nonprofits, that's a responsibility that's trending, like to say, hey, I'm responsible with your money mm-hmm. and with your donation. And it goes further than saying I'm 501c3.
It's a huge responsibility. But again, one that I think to the external world goes somewhat unnoticed. So in bridging the gap, how does this play out with your colleagues? How does that work? And yeah,
funny. So with my colleagues, and I'm actually blessed to be at Atlanta Women's Foundation because specifically with Allie and Kate, who are sitting here, they're very well-versed on general management. So they understand that backbone needs to be in place. So I can come to them and ask a question and they're not like, why are you asking me that? You know, I showed up, we put out the chairs, 500 people came. I don't want to know. So Allie will say, you know, I understand that you're tracking the money. I understand you're tracking who paid. I understand people are being invoiced. I understand we're trying to meet deadlines before the end of the fiscal year. I understand there are some things we're going to need to know for audit. So she's really good at that. And then Kate is kind of like, I'll bounce ideas off of her. Like, okay, from a operations perspective, does this make sense or does this make sense? Because a lot of times you have to balance the budget in nonprofit. Like they said, there are limited resources, limited time.
Sure.
You know, you have to think about, do we need this system versus do we need this system. We might not need a lot of forms, but we do need checks and balances.
This is Allie. I'd like to add, you know, again, I've been with different organizations, and some have been much more supportive of the administration side, the operation side, database management, and others have not. And it makes such a huge difference to invest in your database, your database manager. That is huge for fundraising. It only helps you understand the donors. The database tells a story for your donors. And if your database is not up to date, if you don't have the right information, you don't know your donors well enough. And that is the greatest tool that a fundraiser has. And I think a lot of times with nonprofits, I mean, you do, as fundraisers, specifically development, they're people. they really enjoy, they want to, and that's most important for the fundraisers, face-to-face, being in front of people, planning those great events that get people to know your organization and become donors. That's the number one focus. And so they think of the database and the acknowledgement letters potentially as an afterthought, or don't concern themselves with that. But if that if those processes are not in place, to quickly thank the donor, if you're going on a donor meeting and you want to know the donor's history and it's not very clear, that's not good. So I'm so thankful for Makana's knowledge and when it comes to data and finance to help me do my job the best that I can.
So, I mean, we're talking about the heart of stewardship here. Mm-hmm. If you don't have good records, you can't be good stewards.
Right.
In terms of actually doing the record keeping, I've seen nonprofits do it on an Excel spreadsheet, and I've seen nonprofits attempt to wrestle, you know, the 800-pound gorilla on the hill and make that work for their purposes.
Right.
What do you recommend for nonprofits? What should people keep an eye out for when they're looking at CRM systems, database systems, things like that?
I think with anything, just do your research. I mean, look at industry trends, but also think about what works for your organization, because it's just like any other system. It's going to have to be adapted to the way that you do business. If you don't have a person with that expertise in-house, then don't buy the 800-pound gorilla. Right. Do it on an Excel spreadsheet. But it's important to make sure that those things are safe, that there is data integrity in place, and that if you need that information, you can recover it 20 years later. A lot of times, organizations don't think about archiving and institutional knowledge. I mean, if with the high rate of turnover in nonprofit organizations, somebody has to know that information. You know, where is it kept? How is it kept? And is it safe? So you do want to do your research on that. And maybe, you know, if you're not the best person to do that, figure out who is. Call it, like Kate says, reach out. Call in your resources. See who can come in and help you, kind of talk you through that process without, again, trying to sell you the 800-pound gorilla on the hill. But talk you through it, you know.
Right. And that's what I've often said, don't buy the Rolls Royce if all you need is the Honda. Kate, you were about to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to add two things. One, that in this area, you know, that can be a place where a consultant is useful. When you have a consultant for a very specific project looking for a very specific outcome who has expertise that you don't have time for, and nobody on staff has time for. So, you know, I think in a technology assessment, consultant is always, I think, valuable, because it's one of the areas that nowadays, to function in society, you know, doing this work, you can't, for the most part, be without technology. And yet it's one of the areas that nonprofits probably give the least attention to. So, you know, bringing someone to help you do that's a good use of resources. Mm-hmm. If you're struggling in that area. And then I would say the other side, again, an area that nonprofits don't always put their resources into is staff training. And I think, you know, if you do realize you need the 800-pound gorilla to do this, but nobody knows how to do it, well, then you also have to have the money to invest in training someone, you know, or bringing someone in on staff who already has that training, but it's worth having them be on staff and figuring out, again, where the values lay and what's most important. And those are two areas I feel like, you know, nonprofit management-wise, like, certainly get pushed to the side or not considered enough.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say garbage in, garbage out. So it's important to get the right information in there and know how to do it.
Garbage in, garbage out. How do you know that what you're looking at is garbage?
Because it doesn't tell a story. You can't read the data. I mean, you don't know what happened when, you don't know why. The data should tell a story. You should be able to look at any constituent's record and say, okay, so we met this person when? Who are they connected to? Is this person still involved with our organization? How long has it been since they've been involved with our organization? What do they like donating to? You know, what sparks their interest? Are they interested in women? Are they interested in girls? So the data should tell a story. Sure. If you open up a program and it is a receipt tape, especially in the on the development side, it means nothing to you.
Okay.
Yeah, just to add, this is Allie again. You know, there have been times where you look at records and you see that they've given gifts, but what have they given it to?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they give it?
Mm-hmm.
Were they interested? Did they give that to an event? Did mm-hmm. they give that to a specific program?
Mm-hmm.
Did they just give randomly, you know, to the general operating fund? Mm-hmm. And when you don't know that, it's hard to understand right. the motives of the donor.
So right. you're really actually being you are writing a story. You're writing the relationship with this person,
right?
And saying what they're into and what they're like and what they tend to give to and where their passions may actually lie,
right?
So that another person in the organization can turn around and say, "Hey, we're doing this special thing. We wanted to invite you to the table for that."
Right, and then you're realizing that writing that story and that relationship actually belongs to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that you're doing it so that anyone who comes in that role after you will be able to read that story and make use of it to keep, you know, raising funds for the organization.
I think that's really the most sound reason I've ever had for, you know, how and why people should maintain their databases so specifically. I think that's really cool. So, and I don't know if we should do a shameless plug here or not. What are you guys currently using for database management tools?
We are currently using the Razor's Edge 800 pound gorilla NXT. Yeah. We are using the NXT program, and it's been really beneficial to us. We switched over about a year ago, and just having the functionality of being able to manage so many donors at one time, like Ali said, acknowledgement letters, being able to push out so many at one time, but also still maintain that integrity to tell a story for one donor at the same time and have that also available anywhere and in the palm of our hands as well. We have it on our phones.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Interesting. So Razor's Edge has actually gone completely mobile.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So if the other nonprofits in the world are not looking for the 800 pound gorilla, what are some of the things you've heard about that people might check out?
I've seen a lot of people using Salesforce and a few others that are out there. My only thing is with Salesforce and some of the other more, I guess you could say more for-profit or sales kind of based
mm-hmm.
CRMs, is that you have to be careful to adapt them, like I said, to have that functionality to deal with multiple constituents. A lot of times is with the sales, it's based on the one person. So you have to make sure that's actually going to work for you. You know, if you have 500 constituents for one event, you're not going to be able to push out one letter at a time or one thank you note at a time, or, you know, so you're going to want to be able to manage a lot of people at once. So make sure that actually works for you. Okay. Just make sure it adapts both ways, and also that you can get the information in and out quickly. You know, can I export this to Excel? Can I export this into QuickBooks? Can I export this into another program or get information from my marketing software like MailChimp and put it into my system? So you want to make sure you can do things like that.
Total integration.
Right.
Make sure all the blanks are there ready to be filled in.
Right.
Yeah. Very cool.
I was going to say the other thing to consider, and McConnell will probably second this, is that, you know, sometimes you look at the 800 pound gorilla and you're like, the cost seems really prohibitive. But if you factor in the time it takes two separate technologies and try to make them talk to each other, and that requires more staff time than having a system that's more integrated, you might actually be saving in the long run. Again, sometimes we don't think about that long-term picture, you know, and that's across different paths. Like, so with NXT, we get an email marketing system. It's at a lower capability, like it's a limited capability, but it makes no sense for us to then go pay additional funds for like a MailChimp or a Constant Contact, as great as those services are. It's not a comment on their capacity. It's just, we already have one that talks to each other and that works, fills our needs right now. So it was worth having that and not thinking like, okay, so if we do a separate CRM and then we go to MailChimp, and can they actually talk to each other? Or how much time does it make to talk to them? Is that going to take like an hour every day of my thing? Whereas it would take 15 minutes with a system that is fully integrated.
Same for peer-to-peer campaigns that we do with fundraising. They talk directly to the CRM. And there's some work that goes along with that, but it would be more work if they didn't talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Any parting words of advice for our listeners?
I would say think about operations and database and your systems in place as an investment, just like for-profit corporations do. It's an investment in the overall integrity and quality of what you do. And it will show if it's not together on the back end. If you don't have that together, you know, donors can lose confidence in what you are selling them, because they're like, why would I give you my $25 or my $100 to give if you're not going to invest it properly and make it work?
Right. I've actually read business books where people say if your business burns down and you're the last one out the door, make sure you grab the Rolodex.
Right.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you to the listener for joining us. We will see you in another week with yet another installment with our friends here at the Atlanta Women's Foundation. In the meantime, take care. We'll see you soon.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.